This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So now we're going to start the Hajj. Right, so following our quick reminder, we've gone to Medina. The day we leave Medina, we do our pre-ihram rituals. We know what that is, yes? At the miqat, Labbaik Allahumma, Umrah. Oh Allah, I enter this ihram for the state of Umrah. Then I leave, once I'm in the state of ihram, what do I say? The talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma, Labbaik, Labbaik, La Sharika. And we'll memorize that and we'll say that. All the way till we get to Mecca. When we get to Mecca, we'll go to our rooms, we'll put our bags, we'll settle down, maybe rest, maybe take a ghusl. In the state of wudu, we'll now go to the haram. At the haram, if there's any salah, we'll perform salah first. And now we decide we're going to make Umrah now. Obviously, as we start with the tawaf. There's obviously the niyyah goes out saying, you don't have to say, now wait to tawaf, and you know in your mind I'm making tawaf. Right? So it's already there. You're in the state of ihram, you get to the Kaaba, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you start around one. All the way, make whatever du'as you want. At the end, the last corner, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. And you repeat 7 times. You will maintain your wudu. If you broke your wudu, you will leave. Take wudu and start from the beginning, preferably. Then you finish your tawaf, right at the end again, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and now you will go behind the maqam of Ibrahim. 2 raka'ahs. Kul ya ayyuhal kafirun, kul wallahu ahad, make dua, drink zamzam, go to sa'i. As you're walking there, inna safa wal marwata min sha'airillah, that ayah is in your notes, you get onto safa, face the Kaaba, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, and a dua. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika, and a dua. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, done. Safa, all the way to Marwa. In the middle, Ramal, run a little bit of the green lights for the men, then you get to Marwa. On top of Marwa, same, la ilaha illallah, all the way, back and forth. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. End off at Marwa, for the men, you will have a haircut for the sisters. You wait till you get to the hotel, take off your scarf, your husbands or your, whoever the ladies will trim your hair, and you will be outside the ponytail, and you're out of ihram. Alhamdulillah. Now you're out of ihram. And either you make another umrah if you want, you just go for salah, you make tawaf, up to you. You go for shopping, whatever you want to do, alhamdulillah, you're out of the state of ihram. Now you remain another 2 weeks or so in Mecca. And Ubaid, I sent you a WhatsApp. This is a note that is not in my slides, and I can't put this on. A summary timeline. This will be sent to you as well. Summary timeline in terms of dates. Okay, I've asked them to print it. I don't know if the printing is going to come. It's just a summary of the Hajj. The Hajj is 5 or 6 days. 5 or 6 days. Maybe if you want to make a, let's make our summary here at the back. Let's make a summary at the back. So you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 columns, days, columns. Okay? Let's make your summary at the back. Inshallah, you will bring the printing. Ah, that's okay, but it's very unclear. This is better for you guys. Right, you do your own summary. So make 6 columns. Column number 1 is day number 8. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah. So we are now in which month? Shawwal. Next month is going to be Dhul Qa'dah. And then the last month is Dhul Hijjah. We are not sure exactly which date Dhul Hijjah is going to be, because there's a lot of moon fighting that must still happen. Right? Alhamdulillah, we'll have lots of moon wars that are still going to happen. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah, whichever day that is the beginning of Hajj. Day number 8 of month number 12. The 8th of Dhul Hijjah. This day is called the day of Tarwiyah. No, you're not important to know the name. This day, all you do is just make a small point. You will enter Ihram on this day after Fajr, and then you'll go to Mina. That's all you do. And spend the day in Mina. Nothing specific, nothing. It's to prep yourself. So before this, you were in Makkah or Azizia. You entered Ihram, and then you went to Mina. And you sleep in Mina. The next day is the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, your next column now. This is the most important day. This is the day of Arafah. On this day, by Dhuhr time, you will be in Arafah. You want to be at Arafah at Dhuhr time. Okay? I'll go through the whole process. I'm just giving you the summary. So you know when we go to the details, you understand what we're talking about. Day number 9, the day of Arafah. From Dhuhr, you're in Arafah. Up until Maghrib. You're in Arafah from Dhuhr until Maghrib. And then after Maghrib, you will go to Muzdalifah. And you will stay there until Fajr. There's no rituals on Arafah. There's no jamarat. There's no tawaf. There's nothing. We'll talk about what you do on Arafah. What you do in Muzdalifah. We'll talk about that. Day number 10 is what day? The day of? The day of Eid. Right? The day of Eid. But for you Hajjis, no labarang for you. It's very difficult. In fact, the day number 10 is the busiest day. Arafah is the most important day, number 9. But day number 10 is the busiest day. It's the most tiring day. Fajr on the day number 10, you still should be ideally in Muzdalifah. That's the ideal situation, but that's not going to happen usually. On day number 10, after Fajr, you'll go to Mina. You'll do 5 things on day number 10. So 5 things I do. I pelt Aqaba. I slaughter my sheep. I cut or shave my hair in this order. This is the order that is the perfect order. I then go to Mecca and make tawaful ifada. I sigh and I come back before Maghrib. Pelting jamarat obviously happens in Mina. Cutting and shaving your hair happens in Mina. Slaughtering your animal happens in Mina. And then of course from Mina you go to Mecca and you perform tawaful ifada and sigh and you're back by Maghrib. That's day number 10. Day number 11, 12 and 13, these are the days of Tashriq. Day number 11, now you're back at Mina and you sleep at Mina. And you'll be there, you sleep, you wake up Fajr, you're still in Mina. After Fajr, you wake up, no problem, nothing, you do anything. After Dhuhr, you'll go and pelt all three Jamarat. On day number 10, you just pelted one Jamarat. Day number 11, you would pelt all three Jamarat after Dhuhr. We're going to go through the summary, don't worry. This is summary, we're going to go through the detail. I'm just going to give you, so you can have something to map out. Day number 11, you pelt all three Jamarat. And you go back to your Mina. Mina is a camp, you're in a tent. You pelt Jamarat, you come back. That's all you do on Mina, on number 11. Number 12, as number 11. After Dhuhr, you pelt all three Jamarat. Now, you either exit Mina before Maghrib and leave, and you're done. You go back to Makkah, go to Azizia, you're finished. Or, if you want to stay, you continue another night. Allah says in the Quran, those of you who want to leave early may leave early. Those of you who want to stay for a 6 day, it is much better for you to stay for the 6 day. Stay for another day, and once again you pelt all three Jamarat on day number 13. We'll talk about when these, but I'm giving you the ideal scenario. This is when the waqt comes in. We'll talk about before and after, when is my time frame. Okay? So after Dhuhr, it's after Zawal, Dhuhr time basically. You pelt again on the 13th day, you pelt all three Jamarat, and then you basically leave Mina. After pelting all three Jamarat, you leave. If on the 12th day you're not out of Mina by Maghrib, you must stay there. Right? If you're stuck in Mina, you stay in Mina. And that's you're done with Hajj. And then you make a tawaful wida, and you come back home. Okay? So now let's give this into more detail. Let's start. Day number 8, the day of Tarwiyah. Where are you right now? You finished your Umrah. The day number 8, if I'm not mistaken, so just for your own mind, day number 8 is around the 10th of August. Now when do you foresee yourself getting to Makkah? Around the 18th, 19th of July, yes? Right? Hajj is the 10th of August. So you've got 2-3 weeks, whatever it might be, in Makkah. You are not in Ihram, you fill up that time with Ibadah. You prepare yourself physically, mentally, spiritually for Hajj. Okay? Now, many of you would probably be the first 10 days of Hajj in Azizia, yes? That's usually the package. Or in Makkah, it doesn't matter. You'll be in Makkah or Azizia. The 8th day of Dhul Hijjah, you wake up for Fajr, you perform Fajr Salah, you have breakfast. Now, you will enter the state of Ihram. You will repeat the ritual you did in Medina, the pre-Ihram ritual. Ghusl, shave, cut, perfume, ihram on, make 2 rak'ah sunnah of wudu, and then into the state of ihram. Labbaik Allahumma hajjan. Right? I intend to enter the state of ihram for hajj. I'm still in Azizia, right? In my hotel. Now the group will take you to Mina. Mina is a camp, it's like tents. You will find a place, you'll settle down. The hajj operator will tell you what to take, how much luggage you must take, because you're going to spend a few days in Mina. They will tell you what to take, what not to take, you know. So then you go to Mina. All you do in Mina, to follow the sunnah in a perfect scenario, you will get there before Dhuhr or by Dhuhr. On Mina, you will make Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha'i and Fajr. 5 waqts on Mina. The 4, we will make 2, shortened, without joining. You'll make Dhuhr in Dhuhr 2, Asr in Asr 2, Maghrib in Maghrib 3, Isha in Isha 2, Fajr in Fajr. You will do this in Mina. There will be no, even if the Jamarat is in Mina, you will not pelt any Jamarat this day. So this whole day is a prep day. In fact, this day, whole day is not even it's not a pillar of Hajj, it's not even a wajibat of Hajj. In fact, if you skip the whole day and go straight to Arafah, it's fine. Fine, it's a sunnah, the Nabi did it. But I mean, there are people that come late, they get there, Maghrib time, Isha time. Some people go straight to Arafah, does not harm your Hajj, but it obviously does not. You following the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he spent those 5 waqts in Mina. You with me? So you spend the whole day in Mina, you know what to do. Day number 8, done and dusted. You wake up day number 9. Fajr, where are you? We are still in Mina. We got up, we made Fajr. Now after Fajr, the bus will leave, will take you from Mina to Arafah. And just for you to understand, Hajj is like a conveyor belt. You have Makkah on the one end. Makkah leads into Mina. And in between them is Azizia basically. Azizia is close to Mina. In fact, Azizia and Mina are touching each other. So then Mina leads all the way into Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah leads all the way into Arafah. So Arafah is on the one end and Makkah is on the other end. We're not talking much. I think this whole thing is a few kilometers. It's not too long. I mean, if it's not Hajj time, you probably can drive from the one inn to the other inn, not even half an hour. To and back in less than half an hour. It's very, very short. Right? We're not talking about big distances, like, you know, walking from the promenade down, you know, before you even get to Old Bay. That's the whole Hajj process. But of course, the crowds makes it a complication. So now, we're back on the day number 9. You woke up where? In? Are you in the state of Ihram? Yes. Now you will leave Mina after Fajr. After breakfast, it will be not rushed, inshallah. And you will go from Mina to Arafah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left Mina and he got to Arafah before Dhuhr. And he stopped. And he stood outside Arafah. You don't have to do this, but he did this to make a point to show something. He waited until the sun had passed, meaning the Dhuhr's waqt came in, and then he stepped into Arafah. And he performed, he made a khutbah, he gave a sermon, a very famous sermon, and he performed Dhuhr and Asr together. He made Dhuhr 2 rak'ahs, and he made Asr immediately together. Assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Bilal jumped up, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la iqama, and they made Asr together. Inside Arafah, in Dhuhr's waqt. There will be a khutbah. Usually the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia will give a khutbah. If you listen to it, great. If not, no problem. Now, from Dhuhr's waqt until Maghrib, this is wukuf. This is the holiest day, moment on the face of the earth. Even holier perhaps than Laylatul Qadr. This is, for you, the perhaps you might only get one Arafah in your whole life. This Al-Hajj, the Nabi says, Hajju Arafah. This is, Hajj is dependent on Arafah. This is what makes and breaks Hajj. Your Hajj depends on this, and your life depends on Hajj. Not your life, your Akhirah. This 5 hours, perhaps the most important 5 hours of your life. The day of Qiyamah, this is where it comes down to. What do you do on Arafah? There's no Jamarat, there's no Tawaf. There's not even Salah. Salah has been shifted, we're done with Salah. What do you think this whole time is for? For? Dua. It is just dua. It is you one-on-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You having a private conversation, whatever you need, want, desire, fear, everything. This is really how to prepare yourself. If you cannot sit 4 or 5 hours on your own making dua, you're going to find Arafah very challenging. You must basically find yourself a corner. Put your salah mat down, put your water, whatever you need, and just sit and make dua and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think and prepare yourself. Think of all the du'as I'm going to make. Now there's a whole lot of du'as. We're not going to go through them. But the in section of the book, we've put recommended du'as. Du'as that come from the Quran for wealth, sustenance, health, forgiveness. This, the things that you should always be making du'a for. But you know best what you need. It doesn't have to be in Arabic. In fact, preferably make du'a in your own language. Make du'a for yourself, your family, your friends, neighbors, colleagues, the ummah. Always remember the ummah. In fact, I teach you quickly how to make du'a. The way, the methodology of dua, you take wudu, you face the Qibla, you begin by praising Allah. Like the Fatiha is a very good way of making dua. You begin by praising, you don't start, Allah, I want. You begin by praising Allah, thanking Allah. All the things He's given you. Spend some time glorifying Him. He's the Master and the Majesty, the King of Kings. You make praise of Allah and thank Him for the good, all the blessings He's given you. Once you have done that, now ask Allah for what you need and want. And ask Allah, you know, like a child asks a parent, you know how children are, like you in that candy store, and the child wants this thing, how do they ask? With tears and cry, and they beg and scream. No, not to that extent, but that's basically, make dua like a 5-year-old to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you are done, and you think of all the mistakes, and you think of all the wrongs, and you think of that Jannah that you want, now the things that motivate you, have that in your mind. That is where it all comes down to. Conversation. Wallahi, this is the closest in the dunya you can get to Allah. This is literally like you are standing before Allah and Allah says, what would you like? Speak to me. You have that private audience. The Prophet says, Allah Himself descends in a manner which befits His Majesty to the people of Arafah on the day of Arafah. He comes to them. He's on Arafah in a way which you cannot understand. For you, this appointment, like you have a diary appointment. Imagine, you know, if we have the diary appointment with the CEO or the president of the country, it's on our mind. You, if you've been selected for Hajj, you've got this diary appointment with Allah on that day. Of all the 6-7 billion people on earth, you have been selected. So make that dua. Please, as I said, not as a joke, remember us here. We did this course, not for anything, but we want you to remember us in that dua as well. Please remember us in that dua. That's the best gift you can give us. Remember us, inshallah, our families as well. So then you make dua. And you will continue making dua. Remember, you made asr already. So you will go from about 1 o'clock all the way down to Maghrib. Just a half an hour before Maghrib. As the sun is getting low, half an hour before sunset, then you actually stand up and you go outside. So you're in a tent maybe, go outside into the air and raise your hands up. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this. He raised his hands up and he's like besieging that last half an hour, begging, Ya Allah, please, please, please accept, please Ya Allah, help. Whatever it might be, you make dua. That is Arafah. And when the sun begins to set, it hits the horizon, the waqt of wukuf is finished. Arafah is done. And you will wait until the sun sets, and then obviously you will leave with your group. And the Prophet ﷺ recommended at this point in time to actually take it easy, leave easily. And you will leave Arafah, and then you'll go to Muzdalifah. This is after Maghrib. You will get to Muzdalifah. It might even take you a few hours to get there. This is a very tiring little journey from Arafah. It's very close, but if you, for the people that walk, if you can walk, walk. It's easier, it's better, it's evening, it's cool. You've also been sitting down. Now, if you get on a bus, you might sit for another 5-6 hours. And then you get to Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah has nothing there. It is like the parade. It is just an open tarmac. Buses will park, and if you're able to, you'll get out, and you'll sleep on the ground. Before you sleep, you'll have made Maghrib and Isha'i. You'll make Maghrib and Isha'i together at Muzdalifah. In Isha'i's waqt, in the waqt of Isha'i. Okay? You with me, following me? With Muzdalifah, there is a bit of a complication. Just a side note here. If a person comes late to Arafah, what is the ruling? If you come to, there was a man, he came to Arafah after Maghrib. The Prophet said, it's fine. If you come after Maghrib, then you have until Fajr the next morning. So wakuf is okay. So there's two Arafahs. One Arafah is the person who gets there before Maghrib. If you get there before Maghrib, even just by 5 minutes, then you have to leave after Maghrib. You understand? I got to Arafah, your wukuf ended at Maghrib. For the guy who gets there after Maghrib, his wukuf will go up until Fajr. He doesn't stay till Fajr, but he has until Fajr to get there. You understand what I'm saying? But inshallah, that's not going to happen to any of you. You'll get to Arafah before the word, or on the word, and you'll have the full extent of your Arafah. Okay. At Muzdalifah, all you do at Muzdalifah is you make Maghrib and Isha'i. Isha'i 2 rak'ahs, and that's it. You make Witr as well, and that's it. You go sleep. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept and he woke up with Fajr the next morning. That's all you do at Muzdalifah. Now with Muzdalifah, there is a nuance here. The wife of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sauda, our mother Sauda, she was a big woman. Aisha tells us, she was a big woman, she was an old woman. And so she asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam towards the end of the night. So maybe so 2-3 o'clock in the morning, she said, can I leave Muzdalifah early? Why? Because I want to avoid the crowd and begin before everyone else. Can I leave early? And the Prophet ﷺ gave her permission and she left. Aisha, again, what I like is the story. So Aisha says, Sauda asked for permission and the Nabi ﷺ gave her permission. And I, being like, you know, the kind of cheeky girl that I was, I said, no, I'm staying until Fajr. I'm not going to take this. And she said, I should have gone with Sauda. It would have made my life easier. I shouldn't have been so bristling. I should have gone with her because the Prophet allowed the women, the children, and those who are with them to go earlier. So you are allowed to leave Muzdalifah early before Fajr. So the sunnah is to stay and make Fajr in Muzdalifah. That's the sunnah. That is really excellent. If you can do that, if you're a young couple, you have the ability, you know, follow these sunnahs. You're not going to get another opportunity. Really do it like the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. If you can't and you want to leave, and look, the crowds are big, and you also don't be alone in the sheep. If the whole group is going, you don't know where you're going, then don't also sit out. You're going to get lost. And Muzdalifah is really where people get lost. Because there's nothing there of demarcation. Muzdalifah all looks the same. So be very careful in Muzdalifah. It's just a row of buses that all look the same. That's how Muzdalifah looks. So just be careful, don't get lost at Muzdalifah. So Muzdalifah, best to leave after Fajr. If you cannot and you want to leave early, you can leave early. How early may you leave? After 12, after half of the night. After, if it's past 12 o'clock, then you can leave. It doesn't mean you must stay. Very big difference. When you get to the days of Tashriq, the days of Tashriq says you must spend half the night in Mina. Muzdalifah says you can leave by half of the night, you can leave. Even if you spend 5 seconds in Muzdalifah, so long as it's after 12 o'clock. You with me? You understand the difference? You don't have to spend half the night in Muzdalifah. The Muzdalifah period begins, the exit period begins after 12 o'clock. Now, because of this, subhanAllah, some madhahib, and not even some madhahib, in fact, not even the Shafi madhahib, there are some scholars who have like, and this has become well known, and I don't know why, that people think Muzdalifah itself is optional. They skip Muzdalifah completely. Some people skip Muzdalifah altogether. If you do this, Muzdalifah is, according to the safest opinion, it is a wajibat. If you skip one of the wajibat of Hajj, you need to pay a penalty, which is to snort the sheep. You don't have a choice. you need to slaughter a sheep. So Muzdalifah, don't skip Muzdalifah. If you have to pass through, but not because of your own fault, because the bus. Look, if you're in the bus, you have no choice. Then it wasn't your fault. But remember we said, if you do a mistake, even if it's not deliberate, no sin, but you still have to do a penalty. So if you pass through Muzdalifah and you leave before, yes, somebody's coming. If you leave Muzdalifah before 12 o'clock, then you should pay a penalty. That's the safest opinion, my opinion. You'll find others who say, no reason. Some may even say, you don't even need to do Muzdalifah. Allahu A'lam. Okay? Okay, remind me, when do you get to Muzdalifah? When do you leave Arafah? What do you do in Muzdalifah? And sleep. Who's going to stay till Fajr? Who's going to say till Fajr? We all say we're going to say till Fajr. And then, subhanAllah, few of us, qaleelum, very few of Allah's slaves actually say till Fajr. But it is also difficult, subhanAllah. And you don't want to put yourself in undue risk. So some will leave at 12 or after 12. And some will leave during the night. And some will leave after Fajr. And this is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi. Here's another great controversial area. Pay very close attention. Day number 10. What do you do on, remind me what you do on day number 10. In fact, day number 10, this is the most crucial for our discussion. What do you do on day number 10? Right, sorry? And how many things you do on day number 10? How many things you do on day number 10? So, I want you all to know the five things. It's very important you know the five things. You need to pelt Aqaba. Where is Aqaba situated? In Mina. And you slaughter, this is done for you. Right, so you don't have to worry about slaughtering, it's going to be done for you. Then you're going to cut or shave your hair. This is all in Mina. Well, you can cut and shave your hair in Makkah as well, no problem, but this, the Nabi Sassam did it in Mina. Then you go to Makkah to perform Tawaf al-Ifada, which is a pillar of Hajj, and Sa'i, which is a pillar of Hajj. And you need to be back the evenings of the days of Tashriq. Remember, the night number 11 begins at Maghrib. You understand? Right, number 11 begins at Maghrib. So you need to be back, ideally, you want to be back in Mina by Maghrib. So you can spend the night in Mina. Now day number 5, all of this, when did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi do all these things? When did he do these things? In day number 10, the day of Eid, when did he do these 5 things? Yeah, in the day, yes, he did it after Fajr. He did all of this after Fajr. Now someone that leaves Mina, Muzdalifah at 12 o'clock, they get to Mina at 2 o'clock in the morning, before Fajr. Can they already start doing the stuff before Fajr? You understand the controversial question I'm asking you now? Can I pelt the Jamarat? In fact, some people go straight from Muzdalifah to Makkah. Can I make Tawaf al-Ifada? All these things. Here's the question. Here, and you know what? Majority of your colleagues will tell you, you can do it. And many of the groups, they do it. I'm giving you, when I've researched this and I've looked at the madhahib, some have said pelting before. Let me rephrase it like this. We know that Nabi Sallam did all these rituals after Fajr. There is no upper end, there's no time frame. You don't have to. If you don't do it by Maghrib, it's fine. You can make Tawaf al-Ifada up until Wida. Ifada, all these things you can do up until Wida. The pelting of Jamarat can happen until Fajr the next morning. You have 24 hours. So there's no upper limit of how late you can do it. The question is, how early can I do it? There's no evidence to suggest you can do it before Fajr. I have not found evidence. You find many books, many, and in Cape Town as well, many matofs, they do it before Fajr. I have no evidence to. If anyone can give me an evidence, you know, even you find in Al-Mufidah, rahimahullah, subhanAllah, you find in Al-Mufidah, Al-Mufidah is a fantastic, wonderful, amazing book. You find in it that says you might do it before Fajr. I have not found an evidence for that. And I don't want to teach you something that you do, and there's no evidence for that. Before Fajr, especially Ifada, which is a pillar of Hajj. You know, if you do something before the waqt, it's a problem. You get to Arafah before Arafah, what's the use? Okay? Right, this one opinion says, and this is the vast majority, all these rituals you cannot do until after Fajr. The other side of the coin says, well, what's the point in the sisters leaving early if they end up, it's like you leaving a house early to avoid the traffic jam, and then you stop in the middle of the road and you wait for the traffic to come and then you join. Why did we do all of this thing? Why did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say leave early? You leave early so you can finish early. Yes? Also makes sense. And with the crowds now, if it was difficult for Sauda 1,400 years ago, now it's crazy. Even men are at risk. So, why not make life easy? Hanbali madhab, some have said you can pelt before Fajr. I'll take this under consideration. I would not do any of this before Fajr. That's just my opinion. Your matawf may say something else. So if you leave early, what does that mean for you? You either go to Mina and you sleep, relax until Fajr. You even can go to your bait in Azizia. You can even go, if you have a house in Makkah, you can go to your hotel room. Remember, you're still in Ihram. Still in Ihram, yes? Beware, you're still in Ihram. And now, after Fajr, you need to do all the rituals. These five rituals can be done in any order. These five rituals can be done in any order. The order I gave you, Jamarat, Qurban, Shave, Tawaf, Sa'i, is the order that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. And of course, the fact that he did it in that order is the most meritorious. That's like extra bonus points. But a man came to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, oh, I did Tawaf first. A man said, I did Sa'i first. I did Qurban first. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if'al wala haraj. Everyone that came to me says, do and don't worry. No worry, no issue. It's fine. So the order doesn't matter for Hajj. So you could ideally go from Muzdalifah all the way to Makkah, sleep in your hotel, and then shower, you in Ihram, you go and you perform Tawaf. After Fajr, you'll get maybe Eid Salah in the Haram even. You know, you don't make Eid Salah, but the people, they will be making Eid Salah. You could do that. But try not to do this before Fajr. Actually, not before Fajr, I should say before sunrise. Not Fajr, actually, Nabi did all of this after sunrise, after Salatul Duha. After Ishraq, I should clarify, after Ishraq actually. Okay? And there's something to think about, talk to your group, your operator, you might find that they have different opinions here. Again, this is something that you need to take into consideration. So, okay, you will pelt Jamarat, you will slaughter, you will shave, you will tawaf and you will sigh. Now, when you exit Ihram, exiting Ihram, pay close attention to this. Ihram for Hajj has two levels of exiting. You have exit level 1 and exit level 2. Level 1 of Ihram is to do 3 of the 5. Any 3 of the 5, and you've exited Ihram level 1. What does that mean? It means everything is permissible for you now, except intercourse. You can wear normal clothes. You can wear perfume. You can shave, you can cut. You can do all of that. You can't have intercourse. When you exit, complete exit, is when you do all 5 of the 5. Any 3 of the 5, and you've exited Ihram level 1. Any 5 of the 5, you've exited. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he did, look at what he did. After Ishraq, he got to Mina. He pelted Jamaratul Aqaba, the big Jamarat. Then, he slaughtered himself 63 sheep with his own hand, and Sayyidina Ali slaughtered the remaining 3,700 sheep. Then he had his hair shaved, he ate from the meat, he ghusled, he took off his ihram clothing and he put on new clothing. He put perfume. What level ihram is he out of? Level 1. He only did 3 of the 5. Then with new clothes, not new clothes but a fresh pair of clothes, proper clothes, not ihram clothes, and perfume, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Makkah. And he made tawaf and he made sa'i. And he came back to Mina for the evening and slept in Mina. That is the ideal, fantastic, very, very difficult to achieve, but that is what, that will be first prize. Usually you will be, find yourself in a different situation. Your pelt, and then take it as your sheep is done for you. Sheep is done for you, just count it as it's done. Today I understand you actually get a message to say your sheep is done. Yes? No? I'm not sure. Some have heard that they message you and tell you your sheep has been qurban. Allah alam. You just take it as it's done, because you're never going to know when they slaughter your sheep. Those are the rituals that you do. We said the beginning point is after Ishraq. The end, how long? What if I get stuck in traffic and you know things get so long? What is the latest I can do these things? You have, we said, for the slaughter of the sheep is done for you. Shaving of the hair is easy. That is anywhere you can do. Anyone can cut your hair anyway. So you don't have to worry about that. Pelting Aqaba, you have until Fajr the next morning. So for example, you want to skip Aqaba, you want to go straight to Makkah, make Tawaf and Sa'i, and you come back the night into Mina. Try to do it before Maghrib at least. But if you're not, and it goes beyond, you have until Fajr the next morning. Because of crowds. Okay? Of pelting Aqaba. And then, Tawaful Ifada and Sa'i, you can actually make Sa'i before Tawaf. Remember this. For Umrah you can't do it. For Hajj you can. So you get to the Haram, you check, oh the Tawaf is big, I'm going to make Sa'i first. The lady in a Haid, she can do all of this except Tawaf. She can pelt Jamarat, she can do everything besides Tawaful Ifada. And some people, as I said, don't make these shortcuts. They don't make Tawaful Ifada because you can delay it. So they leave it until the end when they make Wida. And they make it with one niyyah. Wida and Ifada. But remember, you're still in Ihram. Until you've done 5 of the 5, you're still in Ihram. If you have intercourse at that point, your whole Hajj is batil. Be careful. Be careful. Okay? What we haven't discussed is pelting of Jamarat and your stones. How many, if you stay the full quota, how many stones will you need? Let's count. How many Jamarat do we throw on day number 1? On day number 10, day of Eid. We throw one Jamarat, which is how many stones? 7. Right? Aqaba, 7. In the days of Tashriq, how many jamarat are we going to throw? All three. How many stones to throw all three? 21. So if we stay for 3 days, 21 times 3 is 63. Plus your 7 for Aqaba, 70. So the maximum you will need is 70. The maximum you need is 70, but maybe you want to take some more. Where do you get the stones? People are under the impression it must be from Muzdalifah. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, yes, he got some stones were brought to him at Muzdalifah. You can get them in Mina as well. And maybe the 8th day is a good day to get stones. The first day of Mina, where you're doing nothing, and you're calm, open them under the carpet, there's still sand, collect your 80 stones. Yes, on Muzdalifah you can collect stones as well. Collect stones, don't bring them from Cape Town, but collect stones anyway. Stone is a stone. How big is a stone? Like a jelly bean, like a speckled egg. That's the size of a pebble, like a date, even smaller than a date seed. Right, that's what the size of a stone should be. Jamarat, there are three jamarat. Remember the jamarat, what do they symbolize? Shaitan. Right, shaitan is not there, please. That is just a stone, it's just a wall. You'll see how it looks now, it's basically a wall. Like, is this jamarat? Yeah, it looks like that. This is basically like a vibakrit, a big vibakrit. There are three jamarat. The first one, remember how I said you've got Makkah, Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafah. The jamarat are close to the end of Mina, close to Makkah. The jamarat are close to the end of Mina, close to Makkah. The jamarat that is closest to Makkah is Aqaba. So basically, when you get to the jamarat on day number 10, you'll pass one jamarat, it'll be completely empty. If you're throwing stones and you're the only one, that's the wrong jamarat. You will pass the second jamarat, it will also be empty. You will pass the third one, and that is Aqaba. So make a mental note, this one here is Aqaba. The one that everyone is throwing, that's Aqaba. That's the one you throw on the day of Eid, the day of Dhul Hijjah. How do you throw it? You will take the stone in your right hand, between your finger, your thumb and your index finger, and you will say, Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. And with each throw you will say Allahu Akbar 7 times, Allahu Akbar. You must throw each stone separately. You can't say 7 Bismillah Allahu Akbar, all 7. Can't do that. You must throw them individually. And so long as it goes, it's like a vibakrit inside of a little pond thing. If it's inside that pond thing, inshallah it's fine. You know, you'll find that if one side of it is congested, just go around the back, you'd find it's quite empty. Okay? For tall people, just watch out. If you're in the front, you might get hit. Please do not throw shoes, umbrellas, chairs. Do not jump inside and start hitting the wall, as we see some people do. Don't lose your cool at the jamarat. Right? So you will pelt the jamarat, Aqaba, on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So you have up until Fajr the next morning to pelt Jamarat al-Aqaba on the 10th day. Your animal is slaughtered for you. Your shaving and cutting your hair will happen anytime. There's countless barbers. You must decide when you want to do Ifadah and Sa'i. You must decide when you want to do it. Ideally, as I said, you want to be back in Mina by Maghrib. So now you're in Mina, Maghrib time. And you know, so maybe what some people said, you know, I'm so broken. Because look, Arafah is an intense day. Muzdalifah, you might have been walking and stuck in traffic. And you're so tired that you just want like a break. And some people then go the whole day. It happens, they go after Fajr, they go to their bait and they sleep, right? And they come back to Mina before Maghrib. They pelt Aqaba, and now they want to go and make Tawaf. It's fine, you can do that. You're allowed to leave Mina in the night to make Tawaf and Sa'i. But you must try to spend at least half the night in Mina. So count, if it's 12 hours, I need to spend 6 hours in Mina. Unless you get stuck beyond your control, then it's fine. But if you're outside of Mina, without a valid reason, the evenings, the nights of Tashriq, the 11th night, the 12th night, if you're not in Mina for half of the night, then you need to pay a penalty, you need to pay a dam. On Jamarat, you can deputize someone to throw Jamarat for you. So if the wife says, you know, I'm so tired, I don't want to go throw Jamarat, I can't, you know, you physically can't do it, you're injured, you can give your stones to someone else, and they can pelt for you. So how they would do it? They will pelt the first Jamarat for myself, and then I'll pelt for my wife. Then I'll pelt the second Jamarat for myself, and then I don't have to pelt 1, 2, 3, and come back for my wife. First myself, then at the same Jamarat, I will pelt for my wife's stones, and then I do the same at number 2, same at number 3. Right, this is on the days of Tashriq, pelting. Yes? Yes, the sequence. Very good question. The sequence, and in fact, there's a big sunnah that is missed out here. The sequence of Jamarat. You have to start with the small one and end with Aqaba. You have to start with 1, 2, 3. You will end off with Aqaba always. Don't start by Aqaba and go back. So don't get confused. On the 10th of Tashriq, the 10th day of Hajj, the day of Eid, you will only pelt Aqaba. You'll find 2 Jamarat standing empty. No one standing there. You will just pelt Aqaba. On the days of Tashriq, you'll see all 3 Jamarat are busy. You must always start with the first one. And then the middle one, and end with Aqaba. And in fact, the Sunnah is you pelt Jamarat number 1, you stand to one side and you make a long dua. Then you pelt Jamarat number 2, stand to one side and make a long dua. Pelt Aqaba, and no dua. That's the Sunnah. We miss this dua. Long dua actually. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made that Sunnah. No, any dua. We don't know what exactly the Prophet asked, but any dua. There's about, just for interest sake, between the first Jamarat is about 150 meters and the second 120 meters. Just for interest sake. So it's not a very big distance we're talking about. Right? Is there a picture of Jamarat, Ubaid? That's the old Jamarat. Now it's a lot bigger. Jamarat has grown. They've made him bigger. Right? It's much bigger now. Shaitan is bigger now. So that is because of, to make it life easier. You don't need wudu for spelting Jamarat. You don't need wudu for shaving. You don't need wudu for slaughtering your sheep. None of this is needed. You only need wudu for tawaf. So let's remind me again. From the day of Arafah, let's follow. After Arafah, Maghrib, where are we going to go? After Arafah, where are we going after? Alhamdulillah. And what are we going to do in Muzdalifah? Make Salah, Isha and Maghrib and sleep. Right? And by now we should have collected our stones, our 70 stones. Maybe collect more than that, 80, whatever it might be, in case you lose stones or whatever. You end up throwing someone else by mistake. Right? Are you in Ihram? And then in Muzdalifah, how long will you stay in Muzdalifah? Fajr if possible, but if you need to leave early, what's the earliest you can leave? After 12. Right. Now, this is where different people do different things. One group might walk to Makkah, one group might walk to the tent in Mina and sleep at the tent, one group might do all their stuff, slaughtered, by Fajr they finish with the whole Hajj. They make Tawaful Wida basically. Allah Alam. You know, you have to now decide what you're going to do now. Ideally, you want to start, ideally what time do you want to leave Muzdalifah? Ideally. After Fajr, basically make Fajr and you leave, you basically by the time you get to Mina, it will be sunup. The sun will have risen, it's the Ishraq. Now the day of Eid. Are you in Ihram, yes or no? Yes. What are the 5 things we're going to do on the day of Eid? Pelt Aqaba. Start with pelting Aqaba. Slaughter sheep. For the men shave, for the ladies cut your hair. After you've done these 3, what happens now? You're clean for Lusun. You're out of minor Ihram. And now, what was the Sunnah? What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do after this? After he did these 3, he did what then? Ghusl, perfume, new clothes, and then he went to Makkah. And then he made Tawaf first and then Sa'i. If you do the order differently, is the problem? No problem. If you delay, what is the latest you can delay in terms of pelting? Right? If you don't get to pelt Aqaba, try to finish at least by Maghrib, but it goes up until Fajr. If you didn't perform Tawaf and Sa'i, how long do you have? Basically until you leave. You have up until the day you leave Hajj, that you leave back to South Africa. You can delay performing Tawaful Ifadah right until the end. Basically, until the end of Dhul Hijjah, like another 2 weeks, but I mean, no one stays that long. So you can wait until the crowds. You can choose which day the crowd is light, and then you go. Yes? You are in Ihram still, remember? You're still in Ihram. You have been in Ihram, but remember, you would have been out of minor Ihram. Remember, you pelted Aqaba. You've slaughtered, you've shaved so you can wear normal clothing. If you can survive for 2 weeks without having intercourse, then it should be fine. Well, not recommended. Not recommended, of course. You want to get out of Ihram ASAP. This is the Sunnah. But yes, if you haven't done Ifadah, you are still in Ihram. Just remember that. Remember, I say it again. If you have not done Ifadah, you are wearing normal clothes, you are wearing perfume, but you're still in Ihram. If you have intercourse now, your Hajj is batil. Be very, very careful. Okay, then, if everything goes well, I'm back in Mina. What time? By what time am I back in Mina? By sunset. And how long must I stay in Mina? At least half the night, but stay the whole night. Obviously the Sunnah. Now you have people saying, can I go to my Bayt in Azizia and be back half the night? Yes, subhanAllah. Mina is not so bad. Mina is not so bad. For young people, don't take shortcuts. This is, again, it's only 5-6 days of your life. Of your whole life. Stay the whole night in Mina. Then, when you wake up the next morning, what do you do? Fajr and then? What time do you pelt Jamarat? After Zawal. Please do not pelt before Zawal. You might find some people going before Zawal. There is no time limit as to when you can end the pelting. The pelting continues from Zawal, yes, until Maghrib, but it can continue up until Fajr again the next morning. But there's no one that has said pelting before Zawal is okay. They've said you can pelt after Maghrib is okay. But so don't extend, don't go too early, rather go too late. But I think now pelting of Jamarat is very structured. You get taken as a group. Right? You get taken as a group. Why? Because the Jamarat usually was where there were stampedes. So now to be safe, each group is given an allocated time. Go with the group. But if your group goes, I don't think so. But if ever they were to go before Zawal, have a discussion very nicely. Don't argue. Have a discussion and say, look, I feel uncomfortable pelting before Zawal. Can we do something? So say, whatever you're doing, alhamdulillah, I'm sure you're correct. But I feel comfortable. I'd like to pelt after Zawal. Is it possible that I can join up with another group? You know, whatever it might be. Pelting, we said, you can deputize someone to do it for you. Yes? Excellent, fantastic. So now, day number 11, all you do is, what are you doing on day number 11? All you do is pelting and you make your salah in the waqt to the four made sure to two. All the whole hajj, all four rak'ahs are two rak'ahs. The whole hajj. Only Arafah and Muzdalifah, you join them. The others, you actually make it in their waqt. After the first day of Tashriq, the night number 12, what must you do this night? After you do the first day of pelting, what must you do that night? Where must you be? You're still in Mina. Yes, you stay in Mina. You spend a second night in Mina now. This will be the second night that you're staying in Mina. Again, same story. You need to spend at least 50% of the night in Mina. Fajr is the next morning. You make Fajr. What do you do now? Till Dhuhr. Relax, whatever. Make Ibadah. Dhikr. You're already out of Ihram by now. Surely you should have been out of Ihram by now. Unless you haven't done Ifadah yet. But by this time, you're completely out of Ihram. Again, I don't recommend this. Please don't do this. You could theoretically have intercourse at this point in time. But because you're completely out of Ihram. The days of Tashriq. But control yourself, please. Then, you will now pelt a second time on the 12th of the Hijjah after Zawal. And what must you do now? What happens now? After you finish pelting all three Jamarat, what option do you have? You can leave Mina immediately now or stay. And if you're undecided, how long do you have until to make this decision? By Maghrib. If you haven't made your choice by Maghrib and you're stuck in Mina, what must you do? You have to stay that night. Now, you're staying that night, what happens? And then the next day you'll pelt a third time as well. Alhamdulillah, you pelt a third time. Each time you pelt, remember, pelt number one, long dua. Pelt number two, long dua. Pelt number three. Each day you will do that procedure. What if I don't spend the whole night in, I leave Mina, I go to my Bayt in Aziziyah. Then you need to pay it up. Like everything else, it's one of the compulsory things of Hajj, spending the night in Mina, then you have to pay a penalty for that. What if I didn't pelt the Jamarat for some reason? I didn't feel like pelting Jamarat. Well, then you pay a penalty. Or pay it down. Now, last final point before we conclude, inshallah. When you've done all of these things, everything of Hajj is complete. The only thing left for you to do is a final tawaf, called tawaful wida. You are not in ihram anymore. So what you do is, the day you leave, so you say, I'm going to leave after dhuhr. Are we leaving? So between Dhuhr and Asr, go to the Haram, make Dhuhr. When you're done making Salah, make that Tawaf, go home. You shouldn't be doing anything else in Makkah. Basically, you're by there, you should have been done packing. You don't do any shopping. If you need to eat along the way, whatever it might be. As Sunnah, as best as you can, make your Tawaful Wida, the final thing you do before you leave. If you do Tawaful Wida and you end up being stuck beyond your control, no problem. But if you perform Tawaful Wida and then you say, oh, but now I'm going to go do some shopping and now I'm going to go make Salah and I'm going to ziyara that, then you have to do another Tawaful Wida or you pay a dam. Or you pay another dam. You must Tawaful Wida. There are some people that delay Wida and the Sa'i up until the end. I mean, they delay Ifada when you're supposed to do Ifada and Sa'i when which day? 10. But then when they say, you know what? It's so difficult to get from Mina to Makkah. So I'm going to do my ifada with wida. He said it's permissible. And they leave their sa'i also. Now if they make ifada with wida as niyyah, and then they make the sa'i, they need to make another wida. Because wida is the last thing you need to do. So you have to first make sa'i, and then make tawaful, ifada and wida with one niyyah. Don't do these shortcuts. I don't want to teach you these shortcuts. Just do them if practically you get stuck. Absolute last thing to the best of your ability in Makkah. And the majority of you, I believe, even the Shafi opinion, that if you don't do wida, you have to pay a dam for that. And with that, your hajj is complete. Taman, taban, taman. Complete. Ameen. May Allah accept from you, from us. May Allah grant you a hajj maqbool, hajj mabrur. May Allah write for you this journey for you. May Allah bless that what we have done here. I hope this clarified a lot of hajj. Have you learnt a lot? For those of you who've never been on hajj, you never did a hajj course, is there anyone, this is the very, very first hajj class you're doing? You feel comfortable that you know how to do hajj now. Alhamdulillah. Any questions? Uncle, I have a question.
I wanted to say you have to greet Mina when you leave and come back.
How do you greet Mina? Mina is not a person, by the way, no? Not Auntie Mina. No, there's no greeting of any. You don't greet Arafah, you don't greet Mina. Only wida is you greeting the Kaaba. You only greet the Kaaba. That's the only greeting. No other greeting of going. Yes?
The group takes
That's fine. Remember the eighth day of Dhul-Qi'dah, the eighth day, the day in Mina, that's a prep day. So some people they go straight to Arafah and they skip even Mina completely. That whole day is a sunnah day. Meaning, what do? You don't pay a dam, you don't pay anything. You just lose out the sunnah of Mina. But you can do that, you can get to Arafah early. Where? Now if you get to Arafah early, now the reason why he waited, this is a technical thing. The Quraysh, they did not go to Arafah. They had a special place outside of Arafah where they said, look, we the people of Makkah, we make Arafah here, as for the rest of you filthy sinners, you need to go to Arafah. But we are so holy, Arafah is outside of the Haram area. So we stay inside. And so the Quraysh wanted to see, where is the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam going to do? And he actually waited in their place until just before Zawal. And when Zawal came in, he went into Arafah. But that was more to show them something. It's not sunnah for you to stand outside Arafah and then go in. Oh, yes, you can go after Fajr, yes. Any questions? There's no feedback forms that we... No, no feedback forms. But you can send an email. Please let us know in terms... This is the first time actually doing it in the mosque. This is the first time we have done this crash course a few times, but we're obviously trying to improve all the time. Let us know how you found the experience. Let us know how we can improve. If you've left your details, or you haven't left it, please leave it so you can get the audio. The audio we'll send maybe tomorrow, this evening or tomorrow. The whole audio, inshallah. It might be broken up into pieces. And all the slides and the notes that we showed on the soft copy, what was on here, you'll get that. As for the video, that might take some time, might be quite some time first, before we get the video online. Any last comments, questions? If you want my email, I believe it is page number 2, westmuhammad@gmail.com. So if you have any lingering questions, something pops in your mind, something wasn't clear, you can look in there. There's a lot of in the notes, so one quick go through the notes. What we didn't talk about in the notes, there's a lot of misconceptions or mistakes. Go through the mistakes. Look at what people, mistakes they did. Don't do those mistakes, obviously. Right? So for each step, we've documented people cut their hair early. They leave that, they do this, all those mistakes. Also, at the back of the book, there are some ziyarah places. That is just for your extra perusal. You can look into it, read on that. Then you have special du'as, du'a for the sick, du'a for the parents. These are sunnah du'a, du'as from the Quran and du'as from the Prophet ﷺ. So if you want a special du'a for sick, for parents, for children, these are the du'as which are recommended. Again, you can read from the book if you want on Hajj and Umrah, or you can learn, memorize the Arabic, or you can say it in English as well. If you have, as I said, any further questions you want, you can contact me, you can WhatsApp me, you can email me. If there's anything that I've fallen short, and please make me mouth. If I don't see any of you, you know, please, from myself and from the masjid and from the team here, a lot of hard work, as I said, Ubaid and Fatima, the Muaymin, the team that did the catering, we all wish you a Hajj Maqbool, Hajj Mabroor. May Allah grant you an accepted Hajj. May Allah make the journey easy. May Allah make it successful. May you return back as your mothers had given birth to you. May this count in your scales of goodness. May you complete your pillar of Hajj. May this be the means that gets you into Jannah. And may we all get to be there as well. May we all make Hajj as well once again. And please, at the very least, remember us in your du'as, you and our families. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Afwan. Afwan.